More women graduate from college today than do men. More women were sworn into the 113th Congress than any Congress before that. And there are more women in the Democratic caucus than ever before, and that's an understatement. Millions of women in the United States are the primary wage earners for their families. And women are now free to fight for this country on the front lines of battle. Yet, for millions of American women, no amount of valor, talent, or dedication will bring pay equality with their male peers. Women will still bring home 77 cents for every dollar their male colleagues earn for doing exactly the same work. Now, Mr. President, I have 5 children. My oldest child is a girl, my daughter, Lana. I mean, it's hard to comprehend that she's worth less than one of my boys who do the same work. It's unfair. And that's true regardless of whether a woman has a college degree, regardless of what job she holds, and regardless of how many hours she spends at the office or factory every week. They get paid 77 cents on average for every dollar that a man makes. I've gotten to know this dynamic, courageous woman, Lilly Ledbetter. She's campaigned around the state for people, around the country, I should say, for people she likes and believe in her. I'm so impressed with her and what she's been able to accomplish. This one woman has accomplished a great deal.
Thanks for your company, everyone. Brother Hanif, in the clip, the senator states, sorry, are you with us?
Yes, I am.
Yeah, the senator states, more women graduate from colleges today than do men. There are more women in the Democratic Congress than before. Millions of women of the United States are the primary wage earners for their families, and women are now free to fight for this country in the front line of battle. What do you think is the issue there? Do you agree with such explanations to bring women into the society and make them highlighted and give them maybe more power?
I have no problem with the statements that the senator made. And I think in general, this phenomenon is almost international.
Yes.
I think when you look at, for example, Iran, you
right.
find that, for example, in the university system, that right. there are lots more women in proportion to men attending university. And in the next generation, you will find many, many more women in positions of authority than men.
Right.
And I think it is something, I think it's something to be alarmed about, really, to tell you the truth, because what we are looking for here is equality in education, right?
Yes.
Not an imbalance. Why is it that you have so many men not going to university, so many men or young men dropping out of university and so forth, and so many women taking advantage of things? I think we have to look at the distractions that are sort of put out there for young men. You know, video games, pornography, things like that, that distract them from proper study and so forth. So I think this is something increasing. I think human beings all over the world are becoming more and more conscious of the fact that they need to come out from a history of violence and of discrimination against women.
Now,
you
what
know, and
is,
I think what we
what
are dealing
behind,
with here is a cultural problem. Huh?
Sorry to interrupt. What is behind this gender-based wage discrimination, sir?
What is behind wage discrimination?
Wage discrimination, yes.
I think one of the fundamental reasons behind wage discrimination is the fact that it is somehow cheaper, easier
right.
to pay women cheap than
yeah.
men.
Yeah.
And I think this is because of their integration into the workplace, their recent integration into the workplace itself.
Yes.
And also because of cultural attitudes against women, all right, with respect to income acquisition.
Yes, yes.
I mean, for example, you know, some people will say, like, let's say, you know, in places like Iran and Saudi Arabia, for example,
yeah.
women are tended to be paid equally. I think we have to look at this and ask, in what sector?
Yes.
You might find, for example, in the government sector, and you find in Iran and Saudi Arabia, for example, the government sector is the one that is the major employer of women. Okay? So you would find it much easier for the government sector to have equal payment of wages as in any other country, right? As opposed to the private sector. When we look at the private sector, we find that the private sector, like in the West, many times see women as a cheaper labor force than men and therefore pay women less.
Right. Yes. Thank you, brother. Thank you, Brother Wahid.
Thank you. Sheikh Ahmad Hanif, in Europe, from the 15th century up to the 17th century, we see that zealous Christians hunt down so-called witches and kill and burn, what the number I have here is over 9 million women during a 300 to 400 year period. And all of that was sanctified by the popes. And my question is, how did Europe, from having a brutal and anti-woman history like that, transform or change to a society today where we see that woman has turned into a sex object, like I mentioned before, in advertising, pornography, prostitution, media, and so on and so forth?
Yeah. I think, you know, you're moving from one level of ignorance to another level of ignorance.
All right.
But the second level of ignorance is not necessarily on the same level or lower. It is higher in terms of awareness, but there is also still this level of ignorance. Now, in the time of the pogroms against women and the burning of women at stakes and so forth, you found that Europe at that time was gripped by superstition and ignorance.
Yes.
Okay. Christianity is not anti-woman. Okay. So you find that women was, Christianity was in the grip of superstition. And so in this superstitious era, they prosecuted people who were weaker, you know, women, Jews, foreigners, and so forth and so on. At the same time, we have to be aware that the human intelligence is something that it can perceive wrong from the very actions of what we do. You know, and people became knowledgeable about this. People became aware of the futility and the stupidity of their actions, and they subjected themselves to self-criticism.
All right.
Then you had, for example, the movement of women for their own freedom and so forth.
Especially after the Second World War.
And you reach a point now in the 20th century.
Yes.
Okay? Now in the 20th century, what do we have? We have a different type of oppressive system. We have the oppressive system of capitalism, which sees human beings as tools and objects for the maximization of wealth. And so in this era, in this environment, using the superstition of free speech and free expression, they could use now women, the sexuality of women, to sell products.
All right. Thank you, Sheikh. Sheikh Jahangiri, before we go to the question, is there something more you want to add?
I want to change Brother Hanif terms to this term. Brother Hanif said first level of ignorance has been changed to second level ignorance. I want to say first level extremist approach to the women and human being, not both male or female, has been changed to second level extremism.
Right.
Unfortunately, as I said already, first they attacked women. They did not observe the women rights. And after that, we see feminist approach and tendency.
Especially after the Second World War.
Exactly. Yeah. But nowadays, as the author of the Second Sexism says, we will see in very short future the male gender sexism.
All right.
It would be one of the great problems in the future. So why we encounter into these kind of problems? The reason is that unfortunately the status, even in the popular people, they do not observe to the other person, either to be male or female, in a just way.
All right.
I would like underline here the point stated by great Shahid Sadr. He says that the mainstream of legislation should be justice. This is the problem. As Sister Sadri asked about the wage gap in the West, unfortunately, let's say we have this problem in many society, many countries.
Yeah.
You mentioned some statistics in Saudi Arabia. They are earning in the same way, equal. But
yes, let's, during the break.
But let's yes. say it is not. It is not in private companies.
But I think what Sheikh Ahmad Hanif said about which sector provides the same wage. We should look upon that too more carefully.
Exactly,
because it's not spread out in the whole society in all sectors
sure.
and so on. But we have a couple of more minutes, Sheikh. Now, I want you to respond to this question. How do you respond to those who say that homosexuals, which is seen as a shameful and wicked act according to Islam, are also faced with discrimination?
Unfortunately, discrimination has been understood in a bad sense, in a bad meaning. They say that what is desired by everyone should be legal. But is it true? Maybe many some people partially desires something, but it is against the nature.
Right.
Against the nature of human being.
Right.
So should it be illegal? So first, I would like to underline here that homosexuality is against the nature of human being.
Yes.
That's why Islam condemns homosexuality.
Thank you, Sheikh. Thank you. Let's pass over to Ms. Sadrian.
Yes, brother, another site report with Brother Hani from London. I would like to address this part to you, Sheikh. On the website TED.com in TED Conversations, there's a question. Is there still a need for feminism in modern society? Someone answered, I hesitate to call it feminism because it goes deeper than that. It should be so much in our bones that we don't even have to call it a social special word. Could you please elaborate the point in 1 or 2 minutes, please?
I think feminism, if we look at feminism, if you think of feminism as basically the movement of for justice for women, I think, yes, there's still a need for feminism in society.
And what any other cases?
Other cases of feminism?
No, any other case. In case we don't need it, what would you say?
If we don't, yeah, I mean, we are moving towards the fact that we don't need it.
Yeah.
But we still need feminism in society. It's just like, it's like racism, you know?
Yeah.
We're moving towards the end of racism. You see, so we have to be anti-racist. Similarly, we have to be anti-male oppressionist, if one can put it that way.
Yes, yes, right. Thank you, Sheikh. Brother Wei.
Thank you very much. very quickly, Sheikh John Giri, do we see gender discrimination in politics?
Unfortunately, we witness gender discrimination in politics, especially by the, I would like to say, state approaches to the human being. I mean, especially to the females. You know, in some we see some rules against women in some countries.
Yes,
this is it can be called a gender discrimination.
Thank you, Sheikh Ahmad Hanif. I put forth the same question to you: do we see gender discrimination in politics, and why?
Oh yes, 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 definitely. Especially in Muslim countries,
especially in Muslim countries.
And not gender discrimination in terms of just politics in the superficial sense of the word, politics in terms of government, okay?
All
but
right.
We see gender discrimination in also in terms of office politics, in departmental politics. Ask yourself the question, how many women managers do you have in your own public sector, in your own country?
Nice.
They ask yourself the question like that, and ask yourself the question:
nice.
Would men tolerate it? Are men able to adapt
That's
themselves
true.
To it?
That's
to a
true.
Woman
thank
being
you.
Their boss.
And this thank is you, what Sheikh. That was a good question. That was a good question, Sheikh. Thank you very much, Jazakallah Khairan, for joining us, and thank you, Sheikh Jahangiri. Unfortunately, we're out of time. Thank you, Ms. Sadrian, and thank you to all of you, dear viewers. Till next time, may Allah's peace and blessings be upon you.